Okay, everybody, so this week happens to be actually the yard site of Rav Dessler. Of course, it was safer. We are learning Michtam Leo. The yard site is Chof Hei Tevis. So it's just around the corner, a few days from now. I mentioned that was Chof Gimel Kislev, actually, in 1952, where Rav Dessler lost his Rebbetzin. You might remember we spoke about that. Mm-hmm. And actually, she went through quite an extensive period of illness. And as we mentioned, this happened just before Shabbos, actually, Friday night. Friday night was his first Avelus, after his wife, after his Rebbetzin. And there was a need Friday night. It was interesting that Rav Dessler needed to speak something over. So that Friday night he went to the Rav Rosh of Eretz Yisrael, who was Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, to discuss a particular inyan. Rav Herzog was discussing with him whatever needed to be discussed. And he asked him many times, he said, "How's your wife doing?" Because Rav Herzog knew that she was ill. He did not know she passed away. And that was that Friday night, and Rav Dessler went in to speak to Rav Herzog about certain inyonim that he felt he had to speak. And so Rav Herzog kept asking him, he says, "How's the Rebbetzin doing? How's the Rebbetzin doing?" And of course he was not able to say everything is all right, but at the same time he also didn't want to say that she was nifter. It was Shabbos also. So he was like, it was a megam game, sort of like mumbled. And he realized, Rav Herzog realized the fact that she passed away. So he says to him, "So why didn't you tell me?" And again, this is the discipline of Keln. Again, Rav Herzog, he says, "Today is Shabbos," he says, "in Shabbos you don't talk about these things." Because Shabbos is b'chol something which is, even though it was mamish right, it was still, as they say, b'chamimis, just mamish when it was still right, just right in the beginning of the tragedy that happened. Lamaisa, when the Chachmei Musar heard about this, because Rav Herzog went and told everybody, just could not believe, because look at the demeanor of Rav Dessler. I mean, a person just lost his Rebbetzin, and the kind of shalom bayis that they had, can imagine how painful it was for him, and yet you could not tell. There was no trace of any Avelus in Shabbos. So the Alter Musar people used to say, he says, knowing from what school Rav Dessler came from, Zishkachidish, he says, because first of all, Rav Dessler, remember, he married the granddaughter of the Alter von Keln. It means to say, Rav Dessler Shver was Rav Nochem Velvel, was the son of the Alter from Keln. So Rav Dessler Shver was Rav Nochem Velvel, and his Shver, Rav Nochem Velvel, also had sort of a similar Meister. And what was the Meister? Which is a Haflodig Zach, a Pelig Zach, it says that when it was time for Rav Nochem Velvel to leave the world, so he went, it was also an Erev Shabbos. And interestingly enough, Erev Shabbos, he calls the family together and says to him, "Listen," he says, "I'm not going to be here Shabbos." He told them. He was lucid. Speak to them, he said, "So I just want you to make sure." What was his last thing that he's thinking about? The guy's in the world, yeah? So he's saying, it's going to happen on Shabbos, he says. And Friday night, he's going to be eating the fish. Make sure you're not over on this or a boy, because of the confusion of the tragedy of the Avelos that's going to take place. That's what he was telling him. Make sure that you don't get confused, he says, these situations, he said. Or maybe Chaz V'Sholom are eating the fish, make sure you be careful, don't swallow any bones. Because you may be so got involved because of the Avelos, you're not going to be careful. The fact that maybe because of the tragedy they may not even eat fish, that didn't occur to him. Shabbos is Shabbos, how are they going to eat fish? They're going to have the Shabbos like Shabbos is supposed to be. The only thing is that maybe somebody may not be careful in terms of how to deal with the bones. So he was giving them his last words. He says, "Just be careful," he says. "When you eat the fish, make sure that you do it, you eat it properly." Tov Shin Yud Gimel, it was a year later, so it's in Chodesh Kislev or so, but it was actually a Tov Shin Yud Gimel, actually a year before his Patira, Rav Dessler's Patira, he began to experience tremendous pain in his legs, and the doctor who checked him out, Poshiti diagnosed, and he said that the pain is a result, he says, because there's very poor blood circulation in his feet. That's the cause of the pain. However, Rav Dessler never told his Talmidim that he's experiencing pain. Parsha, the simple reason is because he did not want them to have any worry. They shouldn't be worried about him. He should not somehow stand in the way of their learning and being mekabel toiv from him. He continued his activities kilu lohoyu, in spite of the tremendous pain that he was experiencing. As mentioned, he did not tell the Talmidim, so as far as the Talmidim were concerned, he would not even have been aware that he was experiencing such pain. He continued with all his activities kilu lohoyu. Also, that particular time, as we say, was a year before Spetira, he came upon a certain idea. It was a new way to somehow to establish somehow some firm ground for Koilim in terms of certain funding. He had a certain idea, but in order to bring that idea to fruition, he felt he has to maybe take a trip to America. He had a particular idea of a certain arrangement. But before he decided to undertake the trip to America in order to be able to establish this new mahalach in terms of funding Koilim and Eretz Yisrael, so he did what many Gedolim used to do the Goyro Hagro, right, by opening up a Chumash and basically seeing where the which psukim come up. Rav Destler learned how to do it from the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim taught him how to do this, and he opens up a Chumash the way you're supposed to do it. It's not some opening up a Chumash, the Mahal, the way you're supposed to do it, the Goyal Hagro. And which Pasuk comes up? Comes the Pasuk, Hishom Alachem Alois Bahor in the Gay Bekseyu. Don't touch anything, just stay put. He canceled the strip. In the middle of Chodesh Cheshvan, Tavshin Yodalot, still technically 1953 because the Goyish calendar is by January. But Chodesh Cheshvan, the Jewish New Year changed from Tavshin Yodgimel to Tavshin Yodalot. And that was when the Chazanish was Nifter. You can imagine tens of thousands of Yidden, you know, followed the Levaya of the Chazanish. He himself also. And as he was following the Oren of the Chazanish, he experienced tremendous pain in his foot. Tremendous pain in his foot, he says. But Lamaisa, he forced himself. He didn't stop, but he continued to follow the Oren, that's to give the cover to the Chazon Ish, in spite of the tremendous pain. It was like an attack. It's a very strong attack in the pain on his foot. This was later on he mentioned it. But it was from that day on he never felt the same anymore. Bechlal. Like his bria, just his health, just deteriorated. But in spite of the fact, he still continued to give all of his musa shmusin the way he always used to do it in the yeshiva. And as a matter of fact, it was during the Avelis, the first seven days of the Petir of the Chazon Ish, he says, it was on a Tuesday, Parshas Chayesara, that was within the yeshiva of the Chazon Ish, he gave a tremendous hesped in Ponovich regarding the godless of the Chazon Ish. And he was Mo'ir, the world, and his Talmidim, to do tshuva, and to fill the vacuum that was taken away with the fear of the Chazon Ish, in spite of the tremendous pain that he was in. In the middle of Chodesh Teves, like now, things turned to worse, even worse. And basically, he was confined to a bed. And even from the bed, he did not stop to be mashpia, because you know usually if somebody's in bed, you can't be makachoyle. You can't be makachoyle, but him was not being makachoyle. Give him a shmuz. So he became whoever came. So he continued to give a shmuz. Kilu ohi, the same thing. Except in bed, instead of saying in the yeshiva, he said it from bed. And as a matter of fact, he also wrote many letters. That he was able to do, being in a bed, but his hands was okay. His mind was okay. So he wrote number of letters. To Talmidim, being ma'orah them, being mechazik them, and so on and so forth. And he kept getting weaker and weaker. The family members who were close to him saw, they recognized that he may not last very long. They saw how his matzah was deteriorating. Interesting thing is, even though he never said anything, but he just, a particular Talmud who came to him, it was the Dat Kufa, he was discussing various halachas regarding a Shechiv Marah, where the Gemara talks about someone, right, who was on the throes of death and he is leaving a Tzvah. He didn't say anything about a Tzvah, but he was discussing various inyan regarding a Shechiv Marah. And the Talmud really did not want to get the message that he's being Maramas, he's going to be moving on soon. It was on the Wednesday, Parshas Vayera, like this week, this is the week of Parshas Vayera. It was on Wednesday, Parshas Vayera, it was Chov Dalet Teves it was, and it was towards evening, and he said that in Tzitzis Neshama was just about, because they were Kaveh the Yotzad and Chof Hei Tevis. So it must have been after Shkia, the time that was determined that Chof Hei Tevis, which is the Yotzad. Interesting thing is, the day that he was Nifter, which we said was on a Wednesday, Parshas Vayera, like this week, the week of Vayera, that day that he was Nifter in Isin, he was still Mekabel B'nai Yeshiva in his room, and he was still giving shmuzen. Same day. The day of his Petir was still giving shmuzen. Interestingly enough, a few hours afternoon. Can you imagine how close it is? A few hours afternoon. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the doctor comes. The brother doctor is from Chutz La'ir. It's supposed to be Sachoshev, a doctor. So they bring a doctor, which is Mechutz La'ir, and they already had made an appointment to make sure to come ahead, many days ahead. Lamaisa, he arrived at that particular time. He comes, and while the doctor is there trying to look and evaluate the matzav, he gets a very strong heart attack. While the doctor was there. And interesting thing is, it was explained that the commonest bachlal, that when the doctor was there to see him, he says, one can see this was his mahalach throughout his life, throughout all of the pain, and he would speak to the doctor, he would tell him exactly what's happening. He says, the pain is over here, and now it's moving from here to here, and from here to here. It was very calm, as he was talking about somebody else, not about himself. This was his mahalach. He closed his eyes, got a heart attack, he closed his eyes, he didn't say anything anymore. A few seconds later, he opens his eyes again. He opens his eyes again, and he looks around at the kravim who are around the mitzvah, and he gives a laugh, a smile of chibah. He shakes his head as if to say goodbye. He closes his eyes, and that was for the last time. So Thursday was the levaya, as we said, it was nifter Wednesday night. The levaya was on Thursday. Thousands of people, Shteitzach, and Shetayre, Musar, taken. And the kever was not far from his Rebbetzin. But interesting thing is also, they did not put a matzev at first on his kever at all. Why? Because his minig and his family was, and that was the interesting, the minig of the altar, of Simcha Zisel, that they would not put matzev. It would just be a recognition, a small thing, that this is the kever of that person. And he followed the same Messiah. So when the Rebbe was lifted before, he didn't put a matzev. Only a small. This is a recognition to know that whose kever this is, but no real formal matzev at all. His Rebbetzin's buried. People who know in Yerushalayim, Sanhedria. There's a well-known Beis Achaim there, not far from Ramat Eshkol. That area there, Sanhedria, and that's the mokim. That's what it is. And he said he did not, even though he had such cheshi to put a matzev on his Rebbetzin's kever, but he said he does not have within himself. He said to change the minhagim of the family. Where she comes from. Years later, they asked the stipler regarding the situation, and he says, don't worry about whatever the meaning of his office were. It's important that people should see, who is there, and the Welt should see Laman Yamil Yomim Rabin, should put a matzeva on his Rebbetzin's kever, the stipler said, and on his kever, in spite of anything. And Kachava, and that's what they did. So I was mentioning, this is the week of the Yotzad. I believe so. No, his is in Zichron Meir. Zichron Meir is where the Chazinish is. That's the Bnei Brak. That's the Bnei Brak. So, all right. Okay, so we go by side. We go here, page 19. You can look at an essay, Tzadik Veraloi. Tzadik Veraloi. I'm giving a small hakdoma. Tzadik Veraloi. Page 19. Starts just in the Inyan. Tzadik Veraloi. Do I mention that this particular article, Tzadik Veraloi, the guy in the fact is he can have a tzaddik and yet things are very difficult in his life, which is the old kasha. How could it be that you have a tzaddik v'raloi? Rosh Vetoivloi, Sadi Viraloi. So the article that we have over here, Tzadik V'Raloi, is an article that's based on a series of lectures which was called on the subject of Jewish thought that Rav Dessler gave at the Gateshead Teacher Seminary in 1947. It was a seminary teaching teachers, training teachers in Gateshead. And matter of fact, he was active, matter of fact, in planning and in founding that particular seminary. And his weekly lectures, it was said, was to be the highlight of the curriculum of the teacher seminary. In this article, Tzadik V'Raloi, we're going to see this essay over here, he deals with, it's an ancient philosophical question, but always relevant. Always relevant. And that's the problem of the suffering of the tzaddikim and the prosperity of the Rishayim. Tzadik V'Raloi and Rosh V'Toivloi. And as you'll see, he in no way seeks to evade the issue. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, he's prepared to explore all aspects of the matter, including a difficult problem, and that is, I don't think we can get at that particular chelik of the essay, but he also explores to try to explain how do you understand the difficult problem of congenital disease. In other words, someone is born with a disease. We can understand that someone later in life, right, develops a disease. Well, you can say maybe it's an einish of his behavior. Right? Not as a there's an einish, there's mida kenege mida. But when a person's born with a disease, I mean, he was born without a, he's born below chet. He didn't do anything. A baby is born. How do you explain the fact, the idea that some people are born mamish with diseases, serious diseases? They're born that way. What was the chet? What was the chet? Why are they punished? If you go with the Inyan of Gilgul, it's a different story. It's a kapara of a previous Gilgul and so on. But he also wants to explain it in a different way as well, which he brings down, this is part of the essay, Tzadik V'Raloi, to explain the problem of congenital diseases. And it's also interesting to point out that each of the three main stages of the argument is introduced with a sort of like a moshel, right? An analogy from everyday life, to be able to be mekarev l'seichel, the ideas that he's trying to promote. And the main purpose is to give Talmidim the conceptual tools by which they'll be able to bring all questions of this sort into true perspective. Because these are all kind of troubling questions, philosophical questions. And we saw already in previous, we saw in previous essays that we went through that Rav Dessler talks about a lot between Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. Well, Olam Hazeh, we always translate Olam Hazeh, this world. Right, that's what it means. Olam Hazeh, means this world. Right? So we have the idea which Chazal tell us that the idea of this world, right, is a praise door. It's like a vestibule to the world to come. This world is only a praise, it's a corridor. It's a corridor to the next world. But Rav Dessler says, very important, when you learn this Chazal, that Olam Hazeh is merely a praise door. It's just a, it's like a tunnel to reach Olam Habo. It's like a highway, he said, does not mean, he says, does not mean that this world is unimportant. Because that on the surface, that's the message. Olam Hazeh is just a praise door to get to Olam Habo. So Adesel says, don't make a mistake by thinking, by Chazal saying that, that this world is not important. On the contrary, it means that it's supremely important. Why? Because whatever is done, he says, in this world, has the unique power of creating, right, eternal spiritual structures. So then it's whatever in the next world, as far as your chelik is concerned, is being built. All the binyonim, all the structures are being built on this world. Yes, this world is the corridor to the next world, but it's this world which is going to redetermine what you're going to be building, the extent of your building. And he points out, therefore, in a very simple way, you know, when you have the stira, the common stira that you have many times is, which you might realize in the Mefarshim on the Mishnah is discussing, seems to be a stira in the relation between Olam Hazeh, what's better? Olam Hazeh, Olam Habo, what do you mean? Well, on one hand, Chazal say, and we know, we have discussed it already, Yofesh Achas, 1 hour of Koyras Ruach, right, of pleasure in Olam Habo, is more than all Chai Olam Hazeh, right? Right? So 1 hour. So 1 hour in Olam Habo, right, is more than Kol Chai Olam Hazeh. And then we have another memory, which is the opposite. Yofesh Achas B'tshuve, right? In Maisim Toivim B'Olam Hazeh Mikol Chai Olam Habo. That 1 hour of tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world is more than all of chai olam habo, which means that olam hazeh, really even 1 hour, is more than kol chai olam habo. And then the other hand, we say that 1 hour in kairas ruach in olam habo is mekol chai olam hazeh. That says no steer at all. He says, the Shaila is, what does Olam Hazeh mean? What does Olam Hazeh mean? This world, what does it mean? So he does this quite simply. He says, if Olam Hazeh, if this world means material pleasures and self-interest, if that's the meaning of this world, Olam Hazeh, if the meaning of Olam Hazeh means material pleasure, he says, and self-interest, he says, then of course all of Olam Hazeh, he says, cannot equal even 1 hour in the dimension of eternity. In the dimension of eternity, what Olam Haba is, all of Olam Hazeh cannot equal at all. If Olam Hazeh means what? Material pleasure and self-interest. However, if this world means the unique opportunity that you have in this world, this will mean the unique opportunity to choose to recreate yourself. In other words, a person uses the means of this world, right, to be able to subdue, right, his base nature, his lowly nature, and devote himself unselfishly in the furtherance of good, then nothing can excel it. That means Yofi Shachas B'Tshuva, right, Umaisim Toivim. That kind of Olam Hazeh. Ah, that's a different Olam Hazeh. The Shaila is, what does this world mean to you? And that will determine the relation regarding how to compare it to Olam Haba and so on. So, Agaponim, so these are, this is the Nekuda. So, Rav Dessler, as we see, we're going to see now as he talks about these situations. So, let's take a look now over here. Sadi Guraloi. He begins to say as follows. He says, Kol mamin yoideya ki avur hamaisim atoivim bo'il mazeh yisko l'chayil mabot. Right? You know, this Musa, we're talking about people who basically believe. And still, we might have questions. We're not talking to the non-believers. You can read to him whatever you want. Don't be people who basically baminim. But we struggle. We have tension. We believe, but yet we have conflict and we have tension. So Adesla says, well, the first thing, of course, is any person, right? Every person who has faith, he knows that what? That it's because of the Maisim Toivim Ba'olam Hazeh, based upon his good deeds. Yisko l'chayil mabot. Kol Baruch Hu given, he'll be zeichet, right? To the next world. And as he points out, and what does it mean, Olam Haba? Again, Olam Haba means, Heimo, Hachayim Ha'ikriyim, Hachayim Ha'nitzchiyim. In other words, Olam Haba is the highest form of life conceivable. Olam Haba is the highest form of life conceivable. As he points out, it is Nitzchiyim, it is eternal. Right? It is Nitzchiyim, it is eternal. It's Chayim Ha'yosem Me'ulim. It is the most sublime, the highest level that a person can live. The highest level that a person can live, that's called Chaim Me'ulim, V'Hayosem U'Sharim, and the ultimate in happiness. As we have mentioned many times, as Ramchal, where he extols right in the beginning in Perek Alpha Mesilas Yisharim, that we have no idea even what it means, the pleasure of Olam Haba. So a person, a Maman, understands that in order to be Zeichet to Olam Haba is the Maisim Toiv, so the Maisim Toiv be Zeichet to Olam Haba, and when Olam Haba is, that's the Iker, right? That is the highest form of life. That's the highest form of life conceivable. Fine. However, but some people also feel, now with the knowledge of Olam Haba, he says, nevertheless, he says, but there are those that think, but yet there are people that feel that enjoyment of life in this world is also important. In other words, what they say is, he says, it's like people say, this world is also a world, as the popular saying goes. So he says Rav Dessler, but if you look at this world, if you look at this world that we are in it, you'll find out this world really means, takes on so many different roles to different people. In other words, you'll find in this world, you'll find yesh asher yichyu chayim ne'imim. You're going to find, of course, people, if you examine, right? If you examine how people deal with this world, you're going to find a variety, he says, tremendous variety. You're going to find that people, it's you find that life in Olam Hazeh is unevenly distributed. That some people have so much and some people have so little. You're going to find, this is Olam Hazeh. Yesh asher yichyu, that people are going to live chayim ne'imim mu'usharim. They have a gevaldi your life, tremendous enjoyment in life. Then you have people whose life is full of tzar, dagos, robbers, vitzoris. Right? Tremendous dagos, worries, troubles, unceasing problems. And he says, Gamish chayov be'olam hazeh. He says, but in our superficial way, we think that there's no contradiction. In our superficial way, we think there's no contradiction between having a good time in this world, in a material sense, and also going to Olam Haba, right, for reward for his Ma'asim Tovim. In other words, Gam Yishechayim Olam Hazeh Mu'usharim, he says, Heim Yuchlu Yuchla Hagia L'Schar Olam Haba B'Ma'asim Tovim Zel HaMaba. That is the view. That is the view how you do Asher Hugalna Boy. Now the people say to him, so listen, I did a lot of mitzvahs, so for my mitzvahs I'll go, of course, to Olam Haba. In spite of the fact that I can have a lot of real enjoyment Olam Hazeh. I can have a lot of enjoyment Olam Hazeh. If that's the case, he says that a person says to himself that there's no contradiction between having a good time Olam Hazeh, right, and yet having Olam Haba, that brings a lot of kashis. So why is it that some people really have such a good life, and yet we find some people have such so many tzoros in life? In other words, b'chein onu poigim b'kushis gedoilus v'chazokis. So what happens is that we are confronted, he says, with so many difficult questions. Loma ployni zocha l'chaim u'sharim. Why is it that Mr. A, right, is blessed with all the good things in the world? Hasheni, right, and then you have Mr. B, Chayetzar Yichya. You find that Mamish, he exists in Chayetzar. Lola Ployni Atzadi Gizbo Yisurim Rabim, Bechayov Yihu Kechaye Gehenem. Mamish. Some people, Mamish, their life is so difficult. Yet Uploini Horosha Yihu Kol Yomov, he says, Kechayim. This is like one long holiday. So why is that? So he begins to say like this. He says, the fact is, he says, Yesh Asher Amunosim Shalayman. Now, those people are very strong in their Amuna, he says. Those people are very strong in their Amuna. He says, V'hashay lo yishalo lo yizuzum emenu. And mainly he says, people are strong in Amuna, don't allow such questions to budge them even one inch from their conviction, he says. Lo yizuzum emenu. V'hashay yodu, because they understand, they know, ki lo yilonu levakez mishpat Hashem. That's what really should be. He says, those people are really strong in their faith. They know that it's not for us to try to criticize the judgment of Hashem. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who's the judge, right? And we are simply only human beings. How do we have, he says, the chutzpah to even think that with all small minds, with our small seichel, right? He says, however, he says, that is if you are really a very strong ma'amin. But this is the purpose of my essay, is to try to be mekarev el haseichel to those who have the kashya that's bothering them, and their amun is not that strong that they should just ignore it, but it really bothers them. The questions really bother them. They don't just say, I don't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways, but it bothers them. And they think about these things. So Rav Dessler goes on to say, Omnam gam rabim heimo. But the fact is, there's also many, right, that this clear and simple answer, as he said, does not suffice. I mean, because that should be the clear and simple answers. What kind of kasha? Yes, kasha and Rabbi Shalom. There's no way that your simple mind can understand the ways of Rabbi Shalom. Finish, get it. The many things you don't understand. You don't understand a complicated machine, you don't understand either. What do you understand? So maybe certainly you don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way. Okay, but there are many, many people, right, which that clear and simple answer doesn't suffice. And he says, there are people that actually tasfik lema tshuva ha-brura ha-zoi. Now that's really the tshuva brura. We shouldn't even have to write any essay, he says. Because the truth is, this is the tshuva brura. The tshuva brura is, what's your kasha? You ask a kasha, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm asking a kasha. What are you asking a kasha? However, he said, but the people, that's not enough for them. And therefore the fact is, they insist on questioning a Kodesh Baruch Hu's conduct in the world. And they insist on questioning it. And they say, and it's even based on this, they even based the question, so now I really have a question. How do I explain all the tzar and all the suffering in the world? So, one famous atheist, I won't say his name here, Bismedish, it's famous, maybe you know, before you heard the phrase, he used to say, he's an atheist. So he says, the truth is, he says, the believer has a problem in explaining, he says, all the suffering in the world. But the non-believer has to explain everything else, where they come from. So, this guy is here, this guy is there. All right. So those people, he says, were not so firm in their Amunah, and they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Toi V'Rachem Hu, so why is it, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, should cause all these problems, all this bitter suffering? Now, Vim Oynish Huasha Yanish, and he says to himself like this. He says, if the Pshat is, because it's a way of punishment, right? Then the question is, how come the Tzaddik suffers? Then why does the Tzaddik suffer? Does the Tzaddik deserve so much punishment? Does the Tzaddik deserve all that? Vim Oynish Huasha Yanish, Ech Yagabir Kolkach, Onshel Tzaddik, and yet the Rosh who does what? Who does 100 times, right, more Averis, doesn't seem to have all that suffering. And yet it comes out that the evil deeds of the Rosh seem to be ignored. So if you can try to explain suffering has to do with punishment, but then you can ask yourself, how come those who are choyti even more, and they don't seem to be punished? They don't seem to be punished. So he says, G'doyle hi hasakone. He says the truth is that great suffering involves the danger. What's the danger? Great suffering involves the danger that a person may come to resent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. Great suffering, he says, involves a danger. G'doyli ha'sakonet, ashe mitoichsev el rav, yovoi ha'odem li'yisrayim ha'mish p'tei Hashem. He says, that's the danger that's lurking out there. Yichbed al ha'odem lahavchim. It's difficult for a person really to distinguish, to say, ha'mishpotim ha'loloheim, mish p'tei Hashem emes. He doesn't see it. It's hard for him to say that. To accept that, he says. The ilu hoisabem eza hatoya, he says. And the truth is, Hashem's judgment is so precise, he says. The ilu hoisabem eza hatoya im lehetiv im lahara. He means to say is. The truth means, because when we say mishpat Hashem emes, not emes means? Emes means you cannot veer off truth even a mashu. Because if you veer off course even a mashu, then it's not truth anymore. Mishpat Hashem emes means that it has to be truth 100%. Like they used to say something. Somebody asked, "Is the food kosher?" So he said, "Well, the food like this. You see, it's a mixture." He said, "It's 90% kosher. 10% of it is not kosher. If something is 90% kosher, it's 100% not kosher. Because kosher has to be 100%. Emesis can be 90% of it is true. It's means it has to be true completely. That's what he says. If there is, he says, if there is Eza Hatoya, if there's some veering off, Im Lehetiv Im Lohara, veering off, for better or for worse, from the standards of absolute fairness, right? He says, then that would take away from the emes. Even a very small, just moving away from truth. So he says, so there are people for whom this age-old question, it disturbs them excessively, as he says. The question that we just had, man just stands in the way. It's that way, because from the depth of the hearts, they harbor, they may not maybe say it out, but in the heart, right, they harbor secret. They have secret thoughts, and that is, they say, what benefit is it to serve Hashem? If I can be a tzaddik and suffer, right, and be a rosh and prosper. So deep down, they say to themselves, what do I gain? They say to themselves, he said, v'yachshu ma betza kinadenu. That is the kasha that comes out. So it says Rav Dessler, he says, you know what this kasha is based on? This kasha again, the kasha we see a tzaddik suffering where? Bo'olam hazeh. The Rosh is prospering where? Bo'olam hazeh. Ah. It's because our definition of what Olam Hazeh means, and therefore our definition what good or bad means in the realm of Olam Hazeh. The kasha is only based because of our outlook, how we interpret what this world means. In other words, okay, Kol Zeh Bolon, all these kashas, he says, all the trouble arises only Masha Onuroyen Es Olam Hazeh, because we view Olam Hazeh Api Hamabat Hanisker, because we view it by incorrect notions about the functions, he says, and the significance of this world. Because we incorrectly have interpreted what the function of this world is, and based upon our interpretation of the function of this world, therefore we have all these kashas. How come in the Olam Hazeh that Tzaddik suffers? How come in the Olam Hazeh that the Russia prospers? He says, Ach ilu higanu, he says, had we reached the spiritual level, in other words, ilu higanu la madrega shiroyim baso oilam b'ma, but if we would look at the world from the perspective of how Chazal look at this world, if we would understand what Olam Hazeh means from the perspective of how Chazal perceive Olam Hazeh, Hashem dunu Chazal, oz hoyu ha-sheiru salol, and his battles batsam, he didn't get terrorists, the shahs would fall away, as he's going to point out. Sometimes you have a good kasha and you have a teres, right? But sometimes, he says, it was based on a faulty premise to begin with, so there's no teres, because there's no kasha. If there's a kasha, you need a teres. But if there's no kasha, then there's no teres. So he says, if you really would really understand what Olam HaHa, how to look at Olam HaZeh with different lenses, if you look at Olam HaZeh with different lenses, change your glasses. He says, if you look at Olam HaZeh with different lenses, look into the lens of how Chazal talks what Olam HaZeh is about, then that you'll have an answer to the question. He says, the kasha is mizbatzlus matzma. So the kasha points become bottled by themselves. The kasha becomes bottled by themselves. This goes on to say, they disappear. And it goes on to say like this. It brings Kohen Kol, brings a, as he goes on to say, like this, right. Here they are, the Chazal. First of all, we know Chazal have told us, Oilam Azeh, Doimel et Proizdor, Vohoilam Abo le Trakler. Okay, start with that. Chazal have told us that Oilam Azeh is Doimel to a corridor. That's all it is. It's really a thoroughfare. It's passing through. It's passing through to get to Oilam Abo. It's a vestibule. So Oilam Azeh, Doimel et Proizdor, Vohoilam Abo, that's the Trakler. Oilam Abo is the palace. Oilam Abo is the mansion. I'm not the mansion. I mean, this world is merely right. The hallway is a hallway, the corridor to get to reach the mansion. In other words, kol ma'aseh, the klal is the fact is in life. When a person does something because he wants to achieve something, whatever it is, in gashmias, in ruchnias, when a person does something, why are you doing it? You're banging in a nail. Why? Because you want to keep something together. Why are you sewing something? You want the button to stay on. Whenever you do a ma'aseh, you're doing it because you have a purpose, whether it's a good purpose or not, but you decided that's a purpose. You decided there's a tachlis, so you're doing a ma'aseh towards that tachlis. Whatever the tachlis is, every person has his own, what he considers a chosheh tachlis for him. So the male of the klal is called ma'aseh she'yaseh hodom, who le'ez the tachlis asher yishev aleihem. The klal is that a person does something for a tachlis. In other words, no one does something except for a purpose. Well, it might be a bad purpose, right? Maybe a destructive purpose, but he has a purpose. You have a purpose. So you're doing it for a purpose. That's what you're doing. That's time. So Mamela, ukisha tachlis gedoyla be'enov. Now, if the tachlis, right, if he believes the tachlis is very important, then it's kedai for him even, right, to exert himself, even to do hard work. Right, and it's a ratio, right? It's a balance, and it's a benefit, right? It's a benefit. Like say, risk balance, the risk and the benefits. The same thing is it kedai to put in so much work to gain what? If you expect to gain, people in business also, right? If there's a potential, right, the risk, but the gain may be a lot, so people risk more. But people not going to risk a lot for a little benefit. If the benefit is a lot, then they're going to risk more. Also, doing avoda. If a person believes in a tachlis gedoyla, then he's ready even to do avoda kosher. But if the tachlis is not such a big tachlis in his eyes, say, a little avoda is going to do. A small avoda, but not an avoda kosher. That's what he says. Okay, she tachlis gedoyla beinov. If something is very important in his mind to reach the tachlis, yavoid beratzoin. He does it willingly. Because he can't wait. He can't wait to get to that tachlis. Yavoid beratzoin b'shul gam avoda kosher. Right? As we find Kumashoma Kosa by Yaakovino. Yaakovino worked seven years. Why did he work 7 years? Because the tachlis. He wanted rochel. He wanted rochel. And the pasuk says, the yubain of Kayoma Machodim Bavosa. Right? It's hard work 7 years. Nevertheless, but being he saw the tachlis. In the 7 years, he didn't see the hard work. He saw what's going to gain at the end of the 7 years. Bahavosa Yosa. Right? Because of the love that he had for her. So maybe the 7 years, it's hard work, 7 years working for a lover, that's 7 years. But in his mind, he was looking at the work. He was looking, oh, look what I'm going to gain. Look what I'm going to gain. Look what I'm going to gain. If you're looking at the gain, the male of the Avodah Kosher becomes bottled to the tachlis. So he says, so now, the tachlis of the entire Bria is Olam Haba. The tachlis of you being created is also Olam Haba. So if you believe that, and you understand that, then all the Avodah Kosher that you may be going through in this world is kedai for the tachlis. The greater the tachlis, the greater you want to invest koyach in Avodah. You're ready to do more Avodah. He says, tachlis kol abriya umemele gam tachlis oylam azeh kulei oylam aboh. V'im gam kosher ma'oyed yedarki b'pruzah. And let's say it's a difficult road going through this oylam hazeh. Sometimes it's fraught with a lot of difficulties, a lot of nisyonis, a lot of challenges, a lot of tzoros. But if a person looks at the tachlis at the end we're supposed to gain, a person's ready to do a lot of avoda kosher, a person's ready to do, if he believes that he's going to reap a great reward. We see that in the material world. People are ready to work 24/7. That's a life, 24/7. My bank account will be $5 million. But you're not a mensch. This guy, Nasish Kachilik, 24/7, he's working, doesn't sleep. He has a fancy house, he never sees the house. He's never in the house. He's working 24/7. Why? He's always thinking, he'll have more. So when he believes it's Kedai, when he believes it's Kedai, then the Avodah that he puts in, that becomes bottled to the Tachlis. Olam Hazeh is the Prozdor. Now maybe it's a difficult road, it's a bumpy road, that Prozdor, to reach Olam Habo. Right? It's a highway, a lot of potholes on that highway. But a person sees the tachlis, oh, but I'm going to get there, I'm going to be gevaldig over there. Then he overlooks the potholes, overlooks the difficulties. He overlooks that if he understands what the tachlis, but you have to understand what the tachlis, you have to believe in the tachlis. If you believe in that tachlis, he says. So again, even though it might be difficult, you doubt it, but Prozdor, right? And that corridor may be just filled and be filled with difficulties and obstacles, but he does it willingly. So that you see in your life, when a person has a great tachlis, depending how great the tachlis is, but the tachlis is great enough, then he's willing to overlook all the avodah kosher and all the trouble. He's willing to overlook it. Because why? Because he sees the end. He's not looking at the now, he sees the end. And he believes, he knows the end is going to come there. And there's no other way to reach that end. So therefore, he's happy to go on the bumpy road because there's no alternative, and he needs the tachlis. He's just looking for the tachlis. There's no way he's going to be mabater on that tachlis. He has to get that tachlis, whatever it is. But the tachlis is great enough in his mind, and if he believes that tachlis is so choshev, he doesn't care about the bumpy road because he's looking already what is going to be mabich at the end, because there's no other way to get the tachlis. So I have to go the bumpy road, so let it be. At the end, I'll be over the road. And look what I'm gonna have. Look what I'm gonna have. So Ma'akar, he says, She'ain derech acheres lepon v'yir malchut. He don't wait to get, he says, to get to the king. He's losing a moshul. So he may have to go through a bumpy road. But he gives a beautiful moshul, very beautiful moshul, which is gonna be related. As I said, in every argument, he brings you a practical moshul in everyday life. It'll be makar v'laseichel, right? How to apply to Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Here's a moshul. I think the moshul is a moshul that maybe one has heard already. Like, I have a different than you on them also. The moshul is like this. Misaprim, he says, al kushi yechot. The story is regarding, let's say, about a savage, let's say. A person, a wild man, means a person who's not familiar with civilization. He lives, right, a backward life. So we're talking about a person, let's say it's a savage. Shloyoda klum me'inyan hazov ha'kesef. He has no idea what zov and kesef is. No idea. Where he comes from, right? He comes from, they buy food with onions, with garlic. This is what it is. Yeah, barber, yeah. He doesn't know what zov and kesef. No, zov and kesef. Can you eat zov and kesef? You can't eat zov and kesef. What's zov and kesef? It's a stone like any other stone. What's zov and kesef? Yeah, the Baal Muslim once said, the Rabbi Shloim, he said, also planted in the mind of human beings that people spend so much money on dukta, on diamonds, he says, to make a panos, he says, because in the right mind, what's a diamond? It's a strong piece of glass, he says. Why do people give so much money for it? The Baal Shloim put into the mind of people that people should make business with that. So it doesn't make sense. There's no essence value in a diamond, only because people decided that they want to give a lot of money for it. There's essence value. What is it? It's a piece of glass. What is it? What is it? It's no essence value. It's only valuable because people are ready to give money. Piece of bread has essence value. It gives you life. Get it? Piece of bread has essence value. But think like a diamond. It's a stone like any other stone. It's this kind of a stone. This kind of a stone. So Uncle Paul, so you have this discussion. So you're the clue minyan azor v'kesef. Who b'chlal knows nothing about the value of gold or silver. Me'eruch avonim atoivos. Me'shoma miyomov. Right? He never heard about that. He doesn't know anything about precious stones. So what happens? This Cushi once had the good fortune of saving the life of the king. King was drowning. He was walking by and he sees a man is drowning. He didn't know it was the king. He says, you saved the life of the king. Happened to be the king. So, hinei korashi hislas nefesh ha-melech mitvoye bayam. Turns out that he saved the life of the king from sinking. Vayetzav ha-melech ha-melech says, we got a reward. What are you going to do? Imagine what a reward. Lahachnis es matziloi, to bring in his savior, right? To bring that, to reward for saving the king. El ginze hamelech. We're going to bring him into the royal treasury. And you're going to have a lot of empty sacks. And you can tell him for one day, he can fill up, right? He can fill up those sacks and take him home. Right, all of the avonim toivis and magolis, they take in the kabbis l'shom b'sakim b'har. They give him a lot of sacks. He has many sacks that he can fill within a day. This day, all you have to do is help yourself. Help to the royal treasury. Mikol hashayoyva, whatever he wants, v'yikochem al beisoy. Now, Hakushi Ashelo Yodas Lishoinom, the Kushi, the savage, he misunderstands the situation. He understands. You know what he understands? He thinks that he's being punished by forced labor for some unknown wrongdoing. What are they asking me to do? They're asking me to harvest. They're asking me here to fill up the sacks, right? For the next 8 hours, I'm going to fill up, and then the heavy sack, they want me to take it home. You know what they're asking me to do here? So he sees the them to take stones, fill up the sack. He looks at that this is forced labor upon him. That's what he looks at it. So, forced labor, there's nobody here to watch me. I'll fall asleep for a few hours, he says. Nobody to see whether I'm working or not. So, he's lazy, so goes lies down and sleeps. The gamkishen hokits, and then he wakes up, also batal time. Then again, also, he's still lazily. So even when he wakes up, he works as slowly as possible. By the end of the day, the sacks are almost empty. Right? And now they send them home, or they have to leave, and he has the mostly empty sacks right on his shoulder. Now he praises himself. He praises him. What did he praise himself? How smart I was, he says. Can you imagine, he says, Ki ilo oso kashet sivo, had he done what the king wanted him to do, hoy oivit kosher kalayoyim, who was sorry for y'all and lisa masa kovit. So he praises himself. He's how smart I was, he says, that nobody was watching me. I was sleeping most of the day. I didn't have to work, he says. Didn't have to fill up my sacks with all these stones, worthless stones. But now he comes home to his chaverim. The simple MS Ashikaro, when he told what happened, now he realized, so now he realized how foolish he was. Oz Hibchen. Then he understood Kibisimcha, he should have been happy to do that work. That's work to fill. There's no work knowing that it's diamonds they spring. If it's tamavonim to put into sacks. But knowing that it's diamonds and precious stones, he would have done it Bisimcha Rabbe. Ayas takes koyach. This kind of a koyach he does Bisimcha Rabbe. This kind of an effort he puts in Bisimcha Rabbe. He said, Biyom Hayokar Azeh. Kain Mamish, he says, Mamish, Yiyah Mabatein Ubiyigir Loyal Mabot. This mamish will be the feeling, like if this Kushi says. He says, when we come, he says, to Olam Haba, we're going to have the exact feeling. This is what we're going to look at. It will be the world of truth, he says. Because Olam Haba is the world of truth, we're going to find out the truth of the mitzvah. In this world, we think doing a mitzvah, we don't understand the chashivas of the mitzvah. It's like this Kushi thinks it's Savay the Kosher. Difficult to do this mitzvah. It's difficult to do this mitzvah. It's difficult to put the Evan Toiv into the sack. And it's difficult to carry the heavy sack of Avodim Toiv to carry it home. It's an Avay the Kosher. To us, looking at mitzvahs from our perspective in Olam Hazeh, we look at like the Kush, we don't understand that these are Avonim Toivis, Umagolius, every mitzvah, every opportunity that we have in this world. He says, Olam Ha'emes, in Olam Haboy, be the Olam Ha'emes, we're going to find out these are Avonim Toivis. Like the Kush, when he came to his Chavim, he found out the truth. This was not stump stones. Olam will be a world, She'em Bo Yetzah Hara Vata Yoison. It'll be a world, he said, where there will not be any Yetzah Hara. In other words, the value judgment will not be distorted like in this world. In this world, our value judgment is distorted. Case be Yisrael boy lamazeh oy lamasheker. But Asher Yisrael shoyled boy, hine ha'arochesenu, our erech, our evaluation. We misvalue our valuation. Erke sheker hema. What we value is sheker. What we think is important, all the pleasures of an oy lamazeh, that's sheker. We value these things. We value this entertainment. It's sheker. It's all told you that this is good. You think that it's good. Ashrei ha'yedeo makir so'evchen anachoinim gam v'yosef b'prozdo. It'll be too late in Al-Havot to find out that it was the Vonim Toivis and the royal treasury that you lost. It's Ashrei Odom who is makir, he says, the erchen anachoinim, the person really who understands, right, who understands the true value, why he's still in the preparatory world, why he's still in the world that he's able to do something, who yim says, ashrei b'tzaklum, then he's going to find his good fortune in the mansion, the next world, because why, he's going to collect all the Evonim Toivis now. This world is the oilim to collect all the treasury. Now we're on the king's treasury. And even if it might be difficult, and even if it's very difficult, yismach moed, he'll be happy to do the difficult mitzvahs. He'll be happy. Is anybody going to complain to schlep a heavy sack, right, of diamonds and jewels? Ice heavy? Hey, does it be simcha? Okay, we have to stop here a moment. Bar Musa once gave a very good moshul. He said, the klal is, he says, avoid kosher is only when a person thinks he's not maviach. Give a very good practical moshul also, like he said. When a person knows he's maviach, there's nothing difficult. Give an example. A person stands in a store. He's hoping for customers. Because Baruch Hu sends him customers, right? He's opened the store, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He's standing on his feet, serving customers, right? Hour after hour, he doesn't feel tired. He doesn't feel tired. By the way, it's lunchtime. Maybe you should tell customers to go home. You have to eat something. Ah, he's not hungry. Why? Because he's my, every customer is an extra. When a person feels he's mavich, he's not hungry. When it comes to a tainus, then he's hungry. Yeah, because I feel that she's mavich. I'm fasting. But the same person standing in a store, serving customers, he may not eat until 4 in the afternoon. It's felt in the stand that he doesn't even think about it. But hey, he's mavich. When a person believes that he's mavich, nothing is difficult. Nothing difficult. And Rabbi Kivega said the same thing. He said, Soso noiche alim rosecho. So the Melech understands. I have the same simcha when it comes to Torah. What's after that? Kemoise? What do you mean, Kemoise Shol Rav? Imagine, Moise Shol Rav. A person what, is walking on the road and he finds a Shol Rav. What's the most? A treasure chest. Now, the bigger the better. Yeah. But the bigger the better is heavy to carry. Now, when somebody finds a Shol Rav and say, ah, such a heavy treasure chest, there's no problem. He's going to pick it up and he's going to shvitz and he's going to bend and carry it because he knows he's going to get home, he's going to open it. Even though it might be difficult to do many of the mitzvahs, but kemoitzeh Shol Rav, I don't complain about the difficulty when I find a treasure chest right up a Shol Rav. That is no problem. Because you know the tremendous profit that's at the end. The same idea should be Sosa Neichel in Rosecho. That's what this is pointing out. That this is what we should be taking out of Avoyla Mazeh. The difficulties of Avoyla Mazeh should only be looking like carrying a heavy treasure chest. We don't look at it as being an Avoyla Kosher. Because you know what stands to be Maviyah. Okay, everybody's still in the middle of the thing, but we'll stop here for now. Let's take out the sheet and we'll take again something very interesting. Very interesting. It has to do with this week's parsha, actually. Had to do with this week's parsha, a word from Rabbi Shadron, Rav Shom Shadron, which very interesting how he explains something, and it has to do again with the way Hashem runs the world. We're talking about Tzadik V'Ra'aloi, Rosh V'Toivloi. Here we're talking about God, Rosh V'Ra'aloi, talking about how Rosh gets his due. But we see how the Ashgacha process of how it works. Let's take a look here, Rabbi Saad. We have this week's parsha. It's from the Sefer Umosoi Ko'or. It's a Sefer came out in Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago. Now we know the Maisa with the Mak of Dam. Here is the Medrash, here's the words of the Medrash. Vadogo, the fish when the river died, Omer Rab Ovin Halevi, right, Brevi, the Makas Dam Heeshiru Yisrael. Right, remember that? Yidden became rich through the Mak of Dam. Why? Because the Mitzrim wanted to drink water. No, right? They wanted to drink water. It was Dam. What did they have to do? That the buy, so it says Ketzad. So the Medrash tells us, Mamish, he said, what happened? Ketzad, he says, Amitzri v'Yisrael b'Baisech. Imagine the Mitzri and the Yid are sitting in one house, right? Ba'gigis moyamayim, and the barrel's filled with water. So I'm not filled with water. So the Mitzri is thirsty. Why not? I'm going to take a glass of water. It's full of water. It's a barrel full of water here. So go to the urn, right? Full of water. Mitzri hoylech l'malis hakitin mitoycho. Goes and wants to fill the pitcher. Moitzio amalei adam. He takes it out, it's filled with blood. But the Yid drinking from the same, he drinks water. So Mitzri says to Yid, he sees the Jewish cup, he says, it's water. He says, now give me your cup. Know what happens? The minute that the Mitzri takes it, it turns into blood. The same cup of water. The same cup of water. The Mitzri says, tell me beyotcha matmaim. Give me. Venoysenloi, venasadam. Venasadam. Voimeloi, nishtani vatos. He says, maybe we'll drink together. So drink together. Sorry. We drink at the same time. You drink from this side of the cup, I drink from that side of the cup. We drink together. Nishtani v'atam in ka'ol achas. Yisroel shay samayim v'mitzri tam. Gunish ka'ol. Doesn't help you. Whatever goes into the Yid's mouth is water, goes into the Mitzri's mouth is dam. It's dam. Kshay l'keach misroel b'domim. But when he pay for the Yid, he pay for the Yid, how yishay samayim. Mikan eshiru Yisroel. Ah. We know, Rabbi Said, at the time of Alexander Magnon, right? Alexander of Macedonia, great king who conquered the world. They came with a judgment against the Bnei Yisrael, and that is because remember when Yidden left Mitzrayim, it says that what they took out of Mitzrayim, supposedly they borrowed, as the pasuk says. Take a look, because the Gemara says Mitzrayim Sanhedrin. Except the Mei, the Gemara says very quickly. They have some the boy Hamitzrayim Metovus Kol Hakesef Shabasei Nolochem Mem Lifnei Sis Mitzrayim. They came with a tefillah, take that in Torah. So your assets are stolen. They left Mitzrayim. They took out all the riches of Mitzrayim. They not stole Mitzrayim. They took out all the riches of Mitzrayim. It says the Yishalu Ish Meisrayehu Visha Meisrusa. Hikshol Kach Rav Sholem Shvadron Zatzal. Haloya Mitzrayim Heshiru Yisrael Gamba Makazdam. Why didn't they ask? Give me back the water. Give me back the money that by the Makazdam that we had to pay. Kamo Yishomer Medrash. Madua Eifoy Vitri Hamitzrayim. Why were they Mevater Ala Kesef Shenukam Bemakazdam? If the Maloi Tovu Mi Yisrael Lohoshiv LeMasatashum Al Kade Hamayim Shuayt Sheniklum Hem Bekesef Molin. And then he says another thing, he says. Besides, wouldn't it be a better answer if the Mitzri had no water to drink? So I don't give you any water. So let die of thirst. And that would have been the biggest nakama. And that was why did the Yid Bechlal agree to sell? If Mitzri had to buy, you know, I'm not selling, it's not for sale. So Memelo said, the Mitzri would die. That would be the biggest simcha, the Mitzri would die. You have to kasha, one kosher. Near it, it appears, all the Yidin should got a union together. No Yid is going to sell. No Yid is going to sell Mayim to the Mitzri. Well, Imka Mayim, Shemusul, and Rachim Shemusul. So the last one, will die. Now you're going to say maybe the Mitzvah forced them, right? And the Mitzvah had a call to force. He says, why? They were able to force. Anyway, he points out something very interesting. How he touched on this medrash. What happened? It's enough of a nest that you see. When the Yid had it, it's Mayim. When the Mitzri had it, it's Dam. Big nest, right? But he says there's another Nekuda here. That's Mamish. It's like a Nes B'tach Nes here, what happened. What's the Nes B'tach Nes? He says as follows. He says, hold on, Nitoil Atzmeinu, says Nahalos Advaram. Let's imagine how this might have gone on. Let's the scenario. Let's picture the Mitzrim and the Yidin. He says, Nidamian, he says, Kimakas Dam, Hoyekoyus Eitzel Hanatsim. Imagine in the last war, World War II. Imagine that the Mitzri Makoshbach would give the Nazis Makazdam. Let's play it out, what would have happened, he says. He says, Katzin SS, he says, one of the major officers of the SS, Miskaravel Yehudi, Auschwitz. Asher Mefarfa Bipachad Aklamadeh, he just sitters, he just trembles, right? But seeing this big officer, see the big German officer, Vishoyel, and the Nazi asks this German officer, as he, what do you have in your hand? And he says, water. I have water. He said, Mayim Meshiv HaYehudi. So the officer, the German officer says, give me the water. Tell me, Yezeh. So Poiket HaNazi, V'lokech Miyodeh Sakad. The Nazi takes it, and it's blood. Who makes it, V'lo Rege V'oimer, Zeh Lo Mayim, Zeh Dam. Tell me, Yezeh. He said, right? He said, right? So the Yid says, Ani Mitztai, he says, I'm sorry. The Yid didn't know yet himself that Zanes is happening here. Because the Yid didn't know it was water. The Nazi takes it, it's dumb. So the Yid says, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I thought it was water, he says. Ani Mitztai, he says, Chashavti Shezamayim. So he takes it back, and guess what? It's water again. Tenli, he says, Hanazi Magzik. Marmaim Hoyf Kuladam. Makor replies, what happens? Turn the sheet, Rabbi Isaiah, number 2 on the side. He says, I'm sorry, says the Yid. So the Yid taxes and pachet says, I want to give it to you, but for some reason it's turning into blood. The Yid is saying to the Nazi, he says, Al Geshata Marzik Zakar Amaim Hoyf Kuladam. Yeshlocha Pisrim Bishili, do you have a solution? He says, Hanazi Tome, right? He's thirsty. So Lenoimli, the Yid says, I'm very uncomfortable, he says. I'm comfortable, but I heard Moshe Rabbeinu say that if you pay, then you'll be able to drink. Al Shemati Shemoshe Omer Shim Tishalom, and he leaves it, dot, he says, Shim Tishalom. So the guy says, how much? Now listen what happens. So the guy says, how much? Okay, pay. The guy says, how much? So the Yid says, I really would give it to you for free. Remember, I would have given it to you for free. But if you have to pay, give me just a token of payment. So I can't talk about him. So Avonsorach L'shalem Ostemli Mashahu Samli. No, something that's just a token. Chatzi franc. Very little. A quarter. So what does the goy do? So the goy goes and he throws him. Anati zorg lechatzi frank. Guess what? Hakab nisha mola bedam. South nisht. Mal ole frank sholem. So now the Nazi, right? Upset to a full frank. Vizeh adayin lo hoipech lamayim. Rakesh kashbochu hichle kashbochu has a mind. This goy has to pay $10,000. So until the goy comes out and shells out money, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that this goy should have to pay, until he gets the mayim, he's going to continue to stay down. Now, even the yid wants to sell for less, that's the chokhmah. Even the yid is a pach, and he wants to give them for free, I feel it. But it doesn't change, it's done. You have to pay the... So the yid is saying, okay, give me a chip. No. It's not going to turn back into mayim until the goy pays where Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that he has to pay. Rak shesh Kodesh Baruch Hu hichlet, Kodesh Baruch Hu decides she'oish a goy, right, mesuyim, that particular goy, shilim, must speak be yisoy. You know what? He had to pay according to his rishis. So come like this. Russia number one, right? It didn't change back into mayim until he paid $10,000. Russia number two, maybe only $5,000. Why? Kodesh Baruch Hu made the nest happen that the Russia has to pay according to how much rishis he had. Kim Tachozav, each cup of water, right? Mamish, there was a ness in terms of what took place. Mamish has got a plot of the goy. The goy, it says. That's a. Behesoyim lerishosoyim noisu amayiman. We go to number three, to the left. Hayhudim bimisraim pogdu mena misrim hanoikshim moisum pachat molis. You can imagine. The yin were mamish a mole pachat from the misrim. Right? So the Yidden themselves couldn't ask money from the Misrim. Give me a token payment. The Misrim wanted to pay, yeah? He would say, give me a token payment. The Yidden couldn't give a price, a high price. Right? The Yid would deny us more pachad. They would not be able to be Dairish, Rosalem, Kesef. So Kodesh Baruch Hu saw to it that the Misrim should have to pay. The Yid is not able to ask. He's not able to ask at Moira, but Kodesh Baruch Hu did not allow the dam to change back into mayim. So chayin do'aga Kodesh Baruch Hu shekol echod ve'echod yishalem b'diyuk esamagiloi b'shgoche protis mufloye u'michel b'mino. L'fichach hiz b'Rav Sholem, said now Rav Sholem, that's the case. V'ho yishayach sheyovoy l'mitzvi, he says, sheikh sa'odi osher. Oh, so let's say, comes, he says, an Arab sheikh, he says, you know what, I have billions of dollars, I'm going to pay for all the mitzvim put together. Instead of having all the mitzvim, it's not going to help. Because each mitzvi has to be machasr moment according to his wishes. So even if an Arab sheikh would come and says, I have millions, I'm going to pay $5 billion for it. No, it's not going to help. Not going to go back into mine. He says, even with come, he says, the Yikin has called out, you're going to buy the whole river. He says, buy a solar milliard. He said, $10 billion. Right? And then he's going to give the mine Bechinim. He's going to one Arab, right? Arab billionaire is going to buy it all. And then he'll give Bechinim to everybody. She can call Echod of Echod. He says, Shilim Skumacha. Everybody has to pay a different schum. Every mitzvah has to pay a different schum. Behisoyim, right? According, Sinkapast, right? That's Behisoyim Larisha Shaloi. Mishum So it came to the Tkuvah Ksam the Mugdim, they couldn't be Tovei the Kesef, because it was not the Yidden, but the Mitzvah themselves, based upon his wishes, he was the cause of how much he would have to pay until the come. Which he points out to say is, again, to show how the Yishokha Protis was in every situation. So here's it's a very just interesting indication again, how the Mishpatei Shem Emes goes, to what extent how far it goes, and we have an indication for this response. Okay, wait a second.